the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. With your hosts, Joe Bob.
You're awful.
And AJ Applegar.
It's a mouthful.
Right, right. Welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, fan of fantasysixpack.net. With me, as usual, Mr. Clean Shaven. I don't know if I recognize you, man. What the hell is happening here? What's up, AJ?
I guess I wasn't the other day. No.
No, definitely not. That's a new one.
I don't know. I decided to go into work yesterday, so I got a haircut before I went back into work because it was like everybody report back to work day. So,
All right. So, as we learned on Tuesday, your vacation unfortunately did not happen, but you are trying to enjoy yourself as much as possible, and you were telling me you were imbibing a little bit before the show, so it should be a good one.
That is also correct.
good times. Tonight we're going to be talking the wonderful division of the AFC South. It should be good times. I don't really know. Yeah, this is a rough division, man. I'm not going to lie. It's a bad one. But before we move on, just want to remind everybody, hit that like button, that subscribe button. I haven't been drinking for the show. I just can't talk right now.
Who's the drunk one?
I can't talk right now. Give us those reviews, those 5 stars. We appreciate it. All the support helps. And also, just want to remind everybody to please, if you tuned into the show on Tuesday, please donate to MS. We did a big Scott Fishbowl themed show. A lot of great guests on. And the link is fantasysixpack.net/donate. We're up to over $1,100, about halfway in between to 1,200. Would love to kind of tap it out at 15. If we can get there by, I think I left it open until the 13th. So I keep tweeting about it. So go ahead and hit that link there. Thought I just made a ticker thing for it, but it seemed to have totally disappeared. I don't know what the hell just happened to it. So, all right. Anyway, I don't know what I'm doing. This is why Jeff pushed the buttons and not me. So, let's bring in our guest for the evening. Her name is Linda, goes by, Linda Leons, right? Or Linda, no, damn it, I know.
Lindellians,
thank you.
Yes.
I've said it 17 times.
I have said it like 800 times, and I knew I was going to screw it up when I got to the point of the show. But anyway, how's it going? Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. As I said before the show, I'm not going to talk about the AFC South and not drink. I do feel like a fraud. I only brought 5 Trulies back here.
Only five Trulies. Yeah. No, it's all good.
All right. So welcome to the Fantasy Five Pack. No.
Yeah, it's all good. But we will do our, we call it the beer of the week, but it could be drink of the week this week. So let's get to it.
Beer.
All right, so we already know what you're drinking, Linda. AJ, what you got on tap?
I am drinking the Suburban Home from Aslin, no D, Jeff, Beer Company. And it's a double something or other. Oh, IPA, that's right.
Go figure.
Yes, a double IPA, if you will, 8.3, I don't know. That's pretty good. I like it.
Good stuff. I'm drinking it's a collaboration beer between Oliver Brewing and Monument City Brewing. It's Monumental Celebration. Also a double, IPAs. This one's a dry hop IPA, Citra, Mosaic, and El Dorado hops, 8%er. I gave it a 4.25 on Untappd, and for some reason, I don't know, like, this actually has been in my fridge for, like, a couple months now. I don't know if it just, like, went bad, but this one doesn't taste as good as the other three I had. It feels, like, really watered down for some reason. I don't know what the hell is going on with this one, but this would not...
drink multiple other beers before opening that?
No, because I usually, like, when I buy stuff, those are like the first ones I try that night. So I don't know.
Yeah, so my point remains, did you try the other three or four that you bought that night first?
I usually buy 2-4 packs at a time, try one then maybe the other. So
okay,
I don't know, it's all right though, it's beer, I'll drink it. All right, so we are all in Scott Fitch. I just want to touch on this real quick. How is your team going along? What division are you in, Linda? Stuff like that?
Well, I'm in the Nickelback division because nobody, like, what do people love to hate more than kickers and Nickelback? Felt appropriate. And it was going swimmingly round one. I was like, I'm taking Justin Herbert at 105. I had my plan. I wanted to be a little bit different than the chalk picks at the front. I think he has really good potential this year, so I knew I was going to do that. And then after that, I got a little off track. I went Herbert, Nick Chubb, which I was fine with. And then I decided to take Mark Andrews, which I hadn't toyed with at all previous to the draft. And then I really panicked in round four, and I took Adam Thielen at wide receiver 11, which is a little ballsy, but
I'm actually surprised that the 11th receiver went off in the fourth round in your league. We were at like wide receiver 6, 7, and 8 in our league at that point. Like, receivers went off really early in yours.
Every time I look at the board, there's value that I don't expect to be there. And I'm like, there's got to be one position that we're just like depleting completely. Turns out it was quarterback, because when it was time for me to take my QB2, I took Daniel Jones in the 8th round. He was QB 26 and the terrible. Only like solid starting quarterback left on the board. Like the only one that has the starting job for 2021. So
that's not bad. Daniel Jones went in round 6 in ours. So quarterbacks are flying a little earlier than mine than yours. So
It got bleak. It felt like it got bleak so fast.
I ended up having to reach for David Carr in the 6th at QB 20.
Derek Carr.
I always do David Carr. I don't know why. It's literally every single year I do that. But the good news with Derek Carr is that I do get to pair with Waller. So, like, at least I've got that, like, let's call it a stack. All right, whatever. I'm just going to make myself feel better and say that.
I thought Darren Waller was going to fall to me like Kelsey fell so far. And I was like, well, that's going to push Kittle and Waller down. And Kittle actually went before Waller. But they both went like 2 before me.
Did you pass on Kittle to take Herbert?
No, I passed on Kelsey to take her.
Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah, Kelsey.
Here's the thing. I did a lot of mocks where I took Kelsey first, and I just didn't like the way that my team built out. And even then, I was like, if he comes to me at 105, I'm taking Kelsey. But then, like, when push comes to shove, I was like, I got to take
his value. His value position draft, like, it's just
– I know.
It's so nasty. He scores so many more points. He was, like, the 11th ranked player last year.
Insane.
That includes quarterbacks.
I know. I'm not like comfortable with any Scott Fishbowl picks, but I feel like I corrected ship after the Thielen thing. Yeah. But I'm like, at this point, we're in round, I think I'm waiting on my 12th round pick. I don't care about ADP or reaching or whatever anybody says. I'm just going to get my guys at this
point. Yeah, absolutely. I have
faith in because you can't trade or like do anything to acquire them after the fact. And I like to cheer for the dudes I like. So
you're apparently you're friends with a guy in my league, JB from Razzball. And he absolutely hates me right now. I've literally made 5 picks. So, you know, reversals, right? I've made 5 picks in front of him. 4 of them, I've taken his guy.
Before the
one
show.
Pick in front of him. Oh yeah, he yells at me every single pick.
I sent the tweet to like our group chat. We do a Monday podcast. I met all the like a group of four guys I met last year in Scott Fishbowl. Mm-hmm. And then we did like a best ball league, and we just kind of kept, it was like us five that chatted all the time. So now we hang out on Mondays and do a podcast and bullshit. Can I say that?
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay. Should I ask beforehand? But JB is, when I sent him the text that I was coming on here, he was like, get him. I was like, get him what? What does that mean?
Oh, he hates me. So he sent a tweet out earlier today. It didn't take me too long to find it, but he's basically writing like a draft recap as he goes along. And in round 7, which was the last one before this, now he hasn't picked yet because – I took his guy. And I think he's just sitting here like, but no, because I took Justin Robinson right in front of him, and so the last time was Cooper.
Justin Jefferson. Are you sure you haven't been drinking?
God, I swear,
as much wine as I've had today, you were way more off than I am.
I talk too fast. So the last time I took Cooper Kupp, and he wanted to match him with Stafford. And he was like, damn you. So, like, after that pick, he wrote and he shared his little snippet about his round 7 pick. And he's like, I'm really starting to hate Joe Bond. I never met him before this, but he sneaked me 3 out of 4 times so far. And now it's 5 out of 4 or 4 out of 5. So it's just so fun. I'm like, this is just the whole goal of my draft now. It's just to piss you off. Like, this is it. Because I'm not winning this thing. Let's be real.
If you need any intel, just come to me. I know.
All right. I got A. JB, you hear that? I got the inside now. You're totally going down.
JB's article is going to come out, and it's going to look like Tourette's.
It's just going to be titled, I hate Joe Bond.
Motherfucking shit. Damn it, Joe.
AJ, yeah, what's your team looking like so far, man?
I guess better than the AFC South.
That's not hard.
Maybe. I started with Waller at the 1-8. Took Chubb, then wrapped back around on the reverse and took CEH over some other guys.
Wait on quarterbacks.
Yeah. I was QB1 in round 6.
Ooh. Ballsy.
QBs were flying off in the first round, then they kind of settled down into round 3 and 4, and really 5. So I kind of just went off the rails in round 5 and didn't know what I was doing. So I took ETN. I don't know. I didn't hate it. I don't know if I really love it at this point. But looking at
8, so that's the
he was RB22.
That's the 5-5. Yeah. He went RB24 on mine, so RB22 is not bad, but it was RB24 was the
a lot of the ones I looked at
end of the close. Sixth for me.
He was it was between him and Gaskin for running back, and I really just wanted a third, you know, running back I could somewhat depend on.
Who are your quarterbacks though?
I'm getting there. And then it was basically between and maybe Michael Thomas, Lamb, and DJ Moore were kind of my receivers I was targeting there. They all went before it came back to me. So I panicked and took a guy that I know quite well and one we will talk about here shortly, and that is Mr. Carson Wentz, over Baker, over Tua, over Carr for the, you know, mini stack. And over a handful of other guys.
I mean, he's got a little more upside than those guys. Like, if he can bounce back, that, you know, and you needed to take a stab at your QB1 to try to get some upside.
Well, yeah, I didn't really have anything to lose, but I totally snaked the guy after me. Hashtag brother Budhole.
What?
It's Bud, B-U-D.
That is not D. What you said.
That is definitely not what you said.
That is exactly what I said.
Come on. Okay.
Brother Bud Hole.
Okay.
He is,
pronunciation matters, AJ.
I know it does. And who are you talking to here? I am the king of grammar and
pronunciation. Yeah, you did that on purpose. Linda's going to call you out too. She knows.
Exactly. But this guy, he was like panicking. He was pulling a JB because he's like, oh, what the hell, man? You totally sniped my Wentz pick. Now, now I got to go back to the drawing board here. I'm like, I sniped Wentz from you? And we were the only two people that didn't have a QB1 yet. So.
Well, then that would do it. Yeah,
it there was you go. Funny. Bud-did-did-hole. At official Bud Hole.
I just want to see like Beavs a butthead right now, man. Just be like butthole.
Yeah,
it's a
butthole. Like, come on. If it's pronounced correctly, it's pretty funny.
That's too awful. Anyway, yeah. Let's get moving along here.
I went with Wentz. Then I was really hoping Woods would make it back. He got me back and sniped Woods from me. So I took Cup.
All
right, well. I'm on the clock right. Like I literally just went on the clock.
Yeah, this is fun. We did this a few times on the show on Tuesday. Let's do it. What you got?
But I'm pretty sure I'm going to lock up a QB3.
Yeah.
And the only one I'm comfortable with and the only guy that like I posted about liking and some twat on Twitter was like, this is why women shouldn't play fantasy football is Mac Jones. So like I would have gone Mac Jones QB2 if I knew he was going to start. I don't know when he might start. But I have all my quarterbacks, wide receivers, and a good tight end, and my kicker. So I feel like
you already have a
he's
kicker.
He's not going to come back to me. Oh, yeah. I took Tyler Bass way too early. It's fine.
All right. So just curious, what other QBs are there?
Jimmy G, Cam, which I don't. I mean, I know he gets the goal line, but ugh.
No, he's terrible.
Drew Lock, my guy.
Really?
Not great.
You and our boy Davis Pang for Fantasy Sixpack need to talk, man. He is like a Drew Lock lover, dude. Like him and Mel Gordon. Like I'm like, are you a Denver Broncos fan? He's like, no, not really. I'm like, what? You love both of these guys. Like something's up, man.
I like Drew. I think Drew Lock deserves a chance, and I'm a Broncos fan. And like everybody's like, but what about Rodgers? And I don't think we're getting Rodgers. And I know what Teddy B can do, and we've only seen like 18 games from Drew Lock, so I'm just not ready to give up. I have a Trevor Siemian jersey in my closet right now. Okay,
all
right. I'm a homer.
Hey, you do you.
I like it.
I don't know. None of those guys were really caught up. As your QB3, I feel like maybe you can go a little, you know, go the upside with like a guy like Mac or you know somebody who might not be starting right away, and just kind of you know. Hopefully the bye weeks fall right for you and they're starting at that point. Or like, you know, somebody like Darnold sitting there still. Like, I know that seems awful, but like.
He's not there.
Okay. Because like that would be somebody who you could, you know, who would be.
Only quarterbacks with questionable like start. Like you don't know if they're going to start all season or left. Goff gone. Everybody gone. Besides like they might start. So.
Okay.
That's what, and also if he does well, I am gonna talk so much shit.
As you should. So as like, you should.
That's like part don't of it. I hold a grudge. I hold a grudge for sure.
We're taking victory laps after the 1 week he throws like two touchdowns.
Oh yeah, I'll do it. I'm so done. Fast. Then just leave Twitter forever.
Do it. You know, do your thing. Get your guy. That's what you said you wanted to do. Is get your guy.
Yeah, we're gonna do it. All right, can talk about the AFC South now.
All right, let's get to it here. So AFC South fantasy football preview here. Again, not a pretty division. It's just it's one of those unfortunate divisions where we've got a lot of young up-and-coming teams. We've got one sort of dominant team in the division, and then we've got a team that we literally just have no idea what they are going to be this year for many, many reasons.
And not because of Bill O'Brien.
Yes, for once, it's not his fault. It's partially his fault because I think he started this.
You can always tie him back into it. But.
Yeah, I mean, he is a reason for the awfulness of this team. But moving on here. So we like to start the divisions with one just general football question, not really fantasy related. And the question for this division is Tennessee seems to be the only like team in this division that really stands a chance and that they're not in full rebuild mode. That said, like, are any of the other three teams that, you know, any of those three think that you can that can challenge Tennessee in any way?
I think the team I would bank on challenging Tennessee is the Colts. That offensive line is sick nasty. I like Frank Reich. I like Nyheim Hines, Jordan Taylor. That's not his name. Jonathan Taylor.
Man, you pulled a me. Yeah, I'm not the only one.
That's because I corrected you so quick on the car thing that Karma was like, yeah, sit down.
Hold up.
But I like that running back room. I like the coach. I think Carson Wentz has I don't think Carson Wentz is going to come out and be his same MVP caliber, but I think he is going to do just fine behind that offensive line in that offense. I like Michael Pittman. I like T.Y. Hilton just fine. So I would say I think that's the team that I – and we'll talk about my disdain for one of the other teams in this division as we go along. But I think that's the team I would pick to really challenge Tennessee.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think they're the only one who even stands a chance. Obviously, Houston's going through their troubles. Jacksonville's just too young still at this point, and the defense is pretty garbage. AJ, any other?
No.
Nah, I think we're done. We can move on. Fair enough. I like it. So moving on here to quarterbacks, what we do is we do a little QB, we do a little ADP run of through the main targets for the division, and then we get into some questions. QB ADP, Ryan Tannehill sitting at 11 right now. Trevor Lawrence is at 15. Carson Wentz is at 17. And then we drop all the way to Deshaun Watson at 35 and Tyrod Taylor at 36.
Proud of the Hokies. Let's go.
Go Hokies. Yep. So start here with Houston. It's obviously the big story of the entire offseason right now with this division. And you know, the uncertainty surrounding Deshaun Watson, won't get into all of that. But with him not being there, let's say he's not there, right? Which all signs are pointing to him not being there, even regardless if the lawsuit is not settled. Do we finally see Tyrod taking advantage of this starting opportunity, or does he get replaced by totally forgetting who the rookie's name is even at this point?
Davis Mills.
Yeah. I mean, does he get replaced by him like halfway of the year? Because that seems to be what Taylor does, man. He's a bridge quarterback.
Yeah, and only like a half season bridge. It's like, yeah. I feel bad for him a little bit. That being said, Davis Mills is the quarterback that, like, he's, especially in startups and stuff where he's not, I don't think in like dynasty startups you can get him super late. And I think he's like a 1 year deal. If Houston is terrible again this year, and all signs point to that happening, they'll have a high round pick and maybe they go quarterback. So I wouldn't like bank on him for any significant amount of time, but in redraft, I think it's definitely a situation you can keep an eye on, but I'm not targeting any.
Yes. Another fellow Boys and Men are division guy here. Yeah, that was super unfortunate. Like that, I don't know. Was it unfortunate or was it somehow on purpose from the doctors? Like,
Justin Herbert's so good, bro.
I know. Like,
Did Herbert hire goons to attack?
I know it is, Jeff. Leave me alone. I refuse to pronounce it Tyrod. It's been Tyrod since my Virginia Tech days. And then like 10 years into his NFL career, he's like, oh, by the way, it's Tyrod. Nope, too late.
Nope.
Sorry.
No.
You should have fixed that initially.
Boy, I'm going to smack that shit off your face. What are you talking about?
Yeah, not happening.
Tyrod
calls
like an stock. Automobile part spelled differently.
Oh my gosh, I don't know what's happening. Yeah, I don't know. Like, even if Taylor starts, like, I just don't know what we can expect from him. Like, and you know, the offense doesn't have. I mean, they've Brandon Cooks. I mean, he's not a receiver one. Like, he's not gonna like dominate defenses. Like, he's just not. And Taylor isn't that kind of quarterback. He's a check down, short passing, and then like when he can't find his first read, he runs, right? That's what he does. Yeah. So I don't really know what to expect from Taylor. Not much. I'm sort of staying away from this team in general.
me too, yeah. Except for with a very small asterisk to the running back room. And I suggested this maybe a month and a half ago on Twitter. I was like, you know, running back depth. I'm talking about free rounds.
Yes.
Free is Philip Lindsay, a guy that we saw run 2 seasons worth of 1,000 yards and then was injured last season. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, no, we knew it. He sucked. I'm like, you're just getting on board now because you wanted to be right the first 2 years. Yeah. And people did not like that suggestion. I'm not saying he should be your RB2. But I think he'll be a fine depth piece. I think he's more sturdy than David Johnson. He's cheaper than David Johnson. So if there's like somebody in that backfield that I'm targeting, it's Philip Lindsay.
I have somebody in my Scott Fishbowl League listening and watching. He's my boy, like in round 15 or so. Like I need to get him. I'm going to get sniped now. Thank you.
My bad.
JB, pay attention.
That's actually a different JB. Actually, it's just funny.
Yeah, there's not the way same too one. Many JBs because you're also
technically JB. Also JB. Yeah. It is funny. Yeah, we talked about that in the Boys Men chat. So anyway, moving on. AJ, go ahead.
That's why I prefer to be AJ because then you know I just get butt dialed by every single person that has me in their phone. okay. All right, so let's move on to them little horsies, the Colts. Will Mr. Carson Wentz get back to his MVP caliber play now that he's reunited with Mr. Frank Reich and actually has a solid O-line blocking for him this time? I know we kind of already mentioned this. You don't necessarily think he'll be MVP caliber, but let's go into it a little bit more here. Like, what can we reasonably expect from Wentz?
I think Wentz will be a solid QB2. Like, I think he's a great plug and play for the weeks that, like, if in redraft you take a quarterback early, like a Patrick Mahomes or a Josh Allen, somebody like that that you plan to have all season. Because usually for redraft, I'll take one quarterback, and when they hit bye week, I just drop the sucker and start streaming.
Yeah.
But if you take a high-end QB1, then having somebody like Wentz, I think, is a really smart play. And not depending on the waiver wire, but like legitimately taking Wentz at the end of your draft to have him on your bench for injury sake or if they're going to miss a bye week. So I think he has a QB2 upside for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I got to watch him a lot in Philly, but you know, he was up and down, and I've gone on record numerous times, at least last season, for how piss poor his accuracy was. And I don't know if that was because the O-line was always injured. It was always breaking down, and he had to think quicker and do whatever. Some of it might have been that, but there was some throws where he was sitting in the pocket, and he just totally missed his target. So I'm really hoping A for my Scott Fish team and B for, you know, all the hate that he got from Philly fans and possibly deservedly so, but, that he can turn it around and that Frank Reich can get back into his head and really just get him right because he's a talented guy. He's a smart player. He just needs to be able to have the time to think about stuff and not be, you know, getting his ass kicked all the time. I think it's a confidence thing, really, with him. And he just lost his confidence. When you play as well as you did and then you get injured and then you see, you know, the best quarterback of all time, Mr. Big Dick Nick, come in and win a Super Bowl for, you know, the true city of angels, not sorry, Los Angeles, go F yourself. It's Philly. Wow. Brotherly love.
Man.
I mean, how are you ever going to compete with that? It's like BDN's up here with like the Rocky statue and you're like next to him like, hey, man, hey, I got you there. I got you to that mountain. Doesn't matter. BDN ran up the stairs, bro. He was the one that was on the film.
Oh, man.
So that's my piece. I don't know. Joe, thoughts?
I mean, just real quick, I do think he has some upside. Mentioned that, as you said, you picked him. I am nervous about him, though. I'm not in a normal redraft league. I'm not going to rely on him. You know, in super flex, maybe he can be a QB2. But, you know, and I think in a normal redraft league, he's probably going to end up being like a streamer in most cases. He just, until he can prove that he's accurate and he can stay healthy and you know, actually work with this team again, it's going to be hard to push that draft button on him. So moving on here to the last team we've got for the quarterbacks, and it's Jacksonville, and obviously Trevor Lawrence, big time prospect coming out of college in Clemson. He's been that way for, you know, pretty much he was called the number one pick like 3 years ago. It was just obvious. Jacksonville wins the lottery to get him. And, but I mean, what can we really expect from him in his rookie campaign with that team, new coaching staff, new everything?
Listen, I do not like Urban Meyer.
I don't trust. No. You and me both.
I don't trust any offensive piece on that team except for Trevor Lawrence. He's the only one I would be willing to draft in that offense, just because I don't know what the hell Urban Meyer is doing. I don't think Urban Meyer knows what the hell he's doing. I don't think he's going to be there very long. And for all of those reasons, I do think Trevor Lawrence will be just fine in that offense. I think he has low-end QB1 upside. I think you said he was going QB15.
Yeah, right now, according to Fantasy Pros, his ADP is 15. I have him ranked higher than that, so that's a
yeah. Problem. I don't think that's terrible at all. I think he has QB11, QB12 overall upside, so it's a value. But like I said, I think he'll do just fine in that offense. But otherwise, that offense is terrifying to me.
Yeah, I'm not as worried about Lawrence. And as a Gators fan, I did like Urban Meyer for a period of time. But then he went to Ohio State and my disdain for him started and grew heavily. I don't know if this is going to be another Gators coach comes to the NFL and tries to turn a team into, you know, the run and gun college game, like the old ball coach did for the football team that used to be known as the Redskins. I don't know. I mean, I like that Lawrence has ETN there as his kind of scapegoat, if you will, or, you know, safety net. Tebow's there. We'll talk about him later. I don't even know what to make of that yet. Urban, like you said, I mean, I don't know if he'll be there long either. I mean, the guy got out of coaching because he had heart problems.
Right.
And now he's like, no, I'm going to go the Gruden route and be an analyst, you know, on TV for a little bit. And, well, I missed the game. I'm going to go back into it. I mean, dude, do you care about your health? I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's fine. Maybe he's better. Maybe the, being on TV helped him fix that. I don't really know how that would physically work or chemically, but whatever. Drugs are weird things sometimes. So, and you're probably on drugs if you really like Jacksonville. So, I mean, more power to you.
You're on drugs if you like Urban Meyer. Sorry. I'm not a big fan. Yeah. I don't like him. And I know you used to like him because you are a closet Florida Gators fan.
I'm not a closet Gators fan, A. And that's a terrible term to use. All right. We're above using in the closet now, Joe.
Okay. Thanks for calling me out. Anyway. Yeah. Let's move on to some running backs here. So starting with the ADP, we got a couple studs here. Derrick Henry at number 3, Jonathan Taylor number 7, Then a bit of a drop-off. We got Travis Etienne at 25, James Robinson at 30, David Johnson 33, Nyheim Hines at 45, Philip Lindsay 49, Marlon Mack 58. Put him here for good measure. Mark Ingram 66 and Darrington Evanson 68. Going right back to Houston to start. I mean, it was a tiny bit of a bounce back for David Johnson. Like, nothing exciting, but I mean, do we think he's the favorite to carry that backfield now that they have signed Phillip Lindsay and Mark Ingram and Rex Burkhead? I mean, we already mentioned Phillip Lindsay, and I like him late just as much as you do, but I'm still not really sure where this backfield's headed.
No, I don't think anybody is sure. I'm not sure the Houston Texans are sure. I like David Johnson just fine. I mentioned earlier, I hold a grudge. I took him first overall the year that he broke his wrist. So we have some beef, and that might play into my fade a little bit, but I just worry about the like his joints in general. And I think he'll do just fine. I think it'll be a commit, like the purest form of committee you could ever think about in that backfield. So for me, I'll take the cheaper options. But if you believe in him, then I don't see any problem taking your guy at his 80. He's still incredibly cheap. So I don't think his price should be any kind of deterrent from taking him.
I literally have like nothing to say about this backfield. It's just kind of like, it's Mark Ingram, David Johnson, Rex Burkhead. Yeah. If those guys weren't there, if two of those guys weren't there, I'd be like, yeah, I'd be all in on Phillip Lindsay. But they're all there. They're all going to get work. I mean, I'll take Phillip Lindsay, like, you know, as super late as we can, but
I'm not going to be, like, crushed.
This is a dart. Yeah, this is a dart throw. I mean, I know I, like, got on you for, you know.
I am going to burn Twitter to the ground if somebody snipes Rex Burkhead for me. And Scott Fish. Okay. Let it be known.
Maybe we should just move on to Indy.
I have some pretty heavy beef with David Johnson as well. I owned him in a keeper league.
We're not calling it owning anymore, AJ.
You're right.
Sorry, I gotta call you out.
Rostered him.
Yes.
In heavy air quotes, as a player that I was allowed to roster for multiple years in that type of league setup. Again, this is an imaginary game we're playing. I don't know. The injuries just got
to me. They've zapped him.
Lindsay was good for 2 years, then he suffered an injury, and like you said, the truthers were out saying told you, and they, you know, got to stand on their little pedestals. Mark Ingram has had some success here and there, mostly in Baltimore, where it's a run first team, but you know, what did he really do last year?
Nothing.
I
had a Biscuit Fishbowl. I know.
Yeah, I might as well.
That was terrible. I was so excited. I had him and Lamar. Garbage. It was like, oh, I've got the best two running backs for Baltimore. That got me nowhere.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Linda likes to laugh
of
at me.
All of these guys, I feel like Burkhead might actually be the one to get the goal line work. I mean,
it's a bold call. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think you could call any, like, he could be like, Mark Ingram's going to have 1,000 yards, and I'd be like, that's sure. Whatever you want.
Probably. I mean, that is 50, that is like 50 yards a game this season, by the way, if anybody's not counting. It's like 52 yards a game is 1,000 yards. And people can be like, oh, he was a 1,000-yard rusher last year. That's not good anymore. Especially with 17 games. Stop.
Guess
it.
What? Derrick Henry ran for 2,000 last year.
Yeah.
Don't you think he's getting tired? He's got to be so tired. I'd be so fucking tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding.
He's like, beer me, somebody. Come on.
What is this Gatorade shit? I need a vodka.
spike this fucking thing that we're going to dump on this coach soon. All right, let's move on
here to Indy.
Back to
something a little more interesting.
So, I mean, Jonathan Taylor is really high on, I feel like, everybody's board this year. Do you think we're going to see him continue on this breakout trail that he kind of finished off 2020 with? Or is there going to be some kind of a sophomore slump involved this year? And, you know, Marlon Mack is still there and apparently healthy. So
I think he's Jonathan Taylor. It's that when you set those high expectations, like RB7 in ADP, and then he doesn't perform that well, like that's when you have to move in. I'm worried he's not going to meet expectations this year. I think a healthy Marlon Mack, I think Nyheim Hines still takes passing down work from him. And I know we saw him do a lot of great things last season. We also saw him have super mediocre games. And everybody was so high on him already that any slight bit of good that happened was going to skyrocket him. So I am tempering my expectations for 2021 Jonathan Taylor. I won't have any Jonathan Taylor because I'm not going to take him at RB7.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think he's getting a little too much hype for what was it, like four games that he absolutely blew up against really shitty defenses. So that has to play into it. You know, their schedule is somewhat favorable again this year. So I do weigh that in when I'm drafting and whatnot.
To say they do play Houston twice, the Jacks twice. Like, can't forget about that. So it does matter. But
again, they have a pretty favorable schedule.
I hear you. The worry is there. The problem with me is like early on, he didn't really get used. And you got to remember with the rookies last year, right? They didn't get training camp. They didn't get preseason. So he was coming in cold. He had a good second game of the season. And am I forgetting, did he get sort of banged up, or was it like he just, again, yeah, like Frank Reich was just playing Nyheim Hines way more than I thought he ever would?
No, I think there was a little because
he was
bit
still playing, but it was like his carries dropped off. But still, it was kind of one of those things like, you know, we saw the same thing with like Cam Akers last year, right? Like it took half a season for Cam Akers to figure it out. Even like Dobbins to some degree, it took, and that, you know, offense is totally different, but it took Dobbins like half a season to figure it out. Jonathan Taylor had a great week too, and then kind of like petered off. And then, yeah, the last like 4 or 5 weeks, 6 weeks of the season, he was like a monster. I'm not sure he's going to, you know, finish at that pace, but I do have him in my top six. I do like him a lot this year. I think they're ready to move on from Marlon Mack. I think we're going to see a lot of Jonathan Taylor and a lot of Nyheim Hines. Marlon Mack is going to be just a secondary piece at this point. So I'm still all in on Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, he went RB6. The pick right ahead of me in round two.
And Scott Fish, and I don't Chubb, know if I would.
I'm much more comfortable with Chubb.
Taylor will catch more than Chubb. So that's why Chubb goes after Jonathan Taylor. Especially in half PPR, you get those first down points, you know, and the catches are just going to help.
I mean, it could be close because who's
better? I took
Nyheim
Hines in Scott Fishbowl. Because of his catching up.
I had him last year, and he was phenomenal for me.
Well, yeah, he was awesome.
He was like the all-star of my shit-tastic team.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I like Taylor. I think he'll be fine, but I don't know if he's going to finish exactly where everybody has him pegged to be finishing right now.
Yeah, I think the problem is that behind him is there so many question marks, right? Like, you look at Zeke. I mean, he's been banged up. That offensive line is kind of crap now. Chubb has to fight with Hunt, and I know Chubb's a monster. And then you can mix in any of the next six, right? Akers, Gibson, Eckler, Jones, Harris, Swift, Dobbins, mix it. Like, everybody has question marks. I think Taylor's better than all of them.
Ronald Jones? There's no question mark there.
Shut up. So, like, they all have question marks. And so I think Jonathan Taylor is a more talented, has a way better offensive line. And, I mean, Marlon Mack stays healthy. He hasn't proven to stay healthy for most of his career.
I don't think anyone's saying it. I just think
I agree. So, like, if you want to knock him down to, like, eight below Zeke and Chubb, I'm fine with that, but I think that's as low as you can put him. I really do. Anyway, moving on here to the Jags. We saw undrafted free agent James Robinson just explode last year. He's a guy that even after the first couple weeks, I was like, yeah, no, I don't think this can continue. Dead wrong. I will call myself out right now. I was dead wrong on that. Sorry to everybody I told not to pick him up. But now, you know, they brought in Trevor Lawrence's teammate, ETN. You kind of touched on this a little earlier, but, like, how do we see this backfield playing out in Jacksonville?
Fucking messy. It's so messy. It's going to be so messy.
Thank you, because my third running back, Scott Fish, is now Robinson.
Oh, sorry.
I have no choice.
I think they'll both see production. The issue is guessing when or trying to figure out what the hell the plan is in that backfield. And, like, I have often talked about my disdain for Jacksonville's draft process and Urban Meyer in general. And people are like, oh, well, imagine listening to what people say in the offseason. I'm like, imagine understanding what the hell is happening here. They drafted a running back when they didn't necessarily need one. This was a pretty bad defense, like severely lacking on defense. And you had a running back come out and show you what he could do. It's just not a position they needed to worry about then. So I've been pissed for a while about this.
So we do a live NFL draft show. We slammed that pick. Like, I like ETN as much as anybody. I do. I think he's super talented. I slammed that. I'm like, this is the one position you didn't need. And you have a running back in James Robinson you're paying pennies for right now. Don't pay up for ETN. Yeah. You didn't need it. So, yeah, I'm 100% with you on that.
So, okay. I just think it's going to be a very messy, and I like messy backfields are backfields I tend to not touch unless one is super cheap. And I don't feel like either are cheap enough to pick up right now. So, I'll just wash my hands.
Yeah, I mean, I did take Robinson running back 32.
That's not bad.
Scott Fish. So I felt like it was value enough. He's going to get work. You know, I think at worst it's going to be a 50-50 split. Your boy, JB just took Devonta Smith. So, yeah.
He's been panic texting the group chat he's been for like panic, a while.
He's been panic drafting the entire draft.
And it's your fault.
I hope. I've been sending all like the funny memes at him like in our chat. Oh yeah, I'm having a good time with it. AJ, what do you think about this backfield? Quick.
Well, again, I randomly grabbed ETN over Gaskin, thinking, okay, college coach, college player coming into the NFL. I think this could be interesting. Teammate quarterback, also NFL quarterback. And then I immediately read something, I want to say it was on Fantasy Pros, that talked about James Robinson getting the bulk of, if not all, of the end zone, like goal line carries. I'm like, yep, should have went Gaskin. Should have went Michael Thomas. Should have done anything better than what I just did.
I mean, another knock on the coach there, Urban Meyer, is he comes out like a week after they pick ETN and goes, oh yeah, we're gonna line him up out of receiver. What? You have three good receivers. What is wrong with you? You drafted a running back for
his eligibility receiver. Does that help me in Scott Fish? Does it hurt?
Yeah, but he's not going to have – people are like, yeah, I want my running back to catch passes. Well, me too, but I want him to do it as a running back.
Right, yeah. Like,
I want him to also carry the damn ball.
It's not the same situation.
No.
Yeah. It's like when somebody says it's a dual threat quarterback, and by dual threat they mean they can run but they can't throw. That's not dual threat.
It means he's only good at one of those threats. Yeah.
What are you talking about here?
Yeah, makes me nervous.
I don't know what to make of it. I think it'll be interesting. Nobody does. To see.
Nobody does. Unfortunately,
I think Robinson's still the more. You know, more appealing back to own because of his ADP, you can get him, one, two, three rounds later, at least, and have somebody that's apparently going to get all the goal line work. Now, does that mean he's only going to get work from the 20s in, and it's going to be another situation where you have the one running back's good between the 20s, like the long side of the field, and then the other running back is the red zone guy? Maybe, but I think they're still going to have Robinson out there. I mean, they have to. So he proved it last year. He earned it last year. You can't discount that just because, you know, you're long-haired hippie quarterback decides to like crawl into your ear like a little fucking silverfish and tell you to draft his buddy from college. Moving on.
Move on. I was gonna say I'm done. keep drinking wine before the show.
Is that me again?
Can you read?
Oh, it is me. Sweet. Quick fire question.
AJ's ready.
I wrote all these.
I was going to say, this is you, man. God damn it.
I just felt like I talked more on that last one, so I may.
It's okay.
Whatever. All right. Quick fire question. What will Derrick Henry's final regular season stat line look like? Total yards, total touchdowns.
I'm so ass at math and like stat lines and shit. So I think, you know, fuck, I don't know. How many touchdowns did he have last year? Less touchdowns.
Less touchdowns, less yards. Let's do it.
Less touchdown, less yards.
I mean, he was 2012 yards, I think. 2017
and they added
yards.
Julio Jones.
He had 2,027 yards, 17 touchdowns.
There was a 2-7.
I was going to say 18 touchdowns. I thought he had 18, so I would have been close. But, less touchdowns.
17.
Less touchdowns, less yards.
And A, in 2019, it's 16. I'll go, like, even with the extra game, I'll go, like, 1,500-ish yards and, like, 15 touchdowns because I think he's still beast out. But
1,500
like,
yards?
He still...
I get that the fucking guy is tired, but
he's not going for 2,000 again. Good Lord.
No, he's not going.
They brought in Julio. They're not going to hammer the ball through him as much as they did last year.
Julio does not get touchdowns.
No. It doesn't matter. 378 rushing attempts last year. That was up 70 something from the year before. He's not getting that number again. He's going to drop back down to 300, if not below 300. So the yardage is going to drop like a rock, man. I'm telling you.
No.
Drop like a rock from 2000, but it's still going to be like 15. Yeah. So it's still fine. Like he's still RB, you know, 5, OJ 6, 7, like, 3, 4, whatever you want to call him. Like,
killed a couple people and I'm still good.
Jesus.
Yeah, I think he's going to be like 1,800 yards, total yards. and I'm going to give him 16 touchdowns. I'll go under on the touchdowns.
I'd just like to say we really nailed that quick fire.
Yeah, totally. That was not quick at all.
Totally.
AJ is yelling at me. All right, moving on here. Let's do our wide receiver ADP, AJ.
Move it on. Just like vacation.
I like how Lita calls us out because this is what we need.
Yes.
I'm so bad. Anytime Troy says quick fire, I'm like, fuck, okay. Really consolidating. Yeah, anytime he tells me
quick fire, I'm like,
Troy's on our show in a couple weeks, so it'll be good. I'll do a quick fire with him and see how he does.
Quick and fire are two things that do not ever go together with me.
We'll make sure we do a quick fire with Troy and figure out who did it faster.
Guarantee you he bitches about John Bauer's quick fire answers because they are not quick.
Okay. Good times.
All right. So let's get to receivers here. So we got beautiful first name, AJ Brown, going at 7. Julio Jones, the newbie in town, going at 10. DJ Baby Chark going at 31. Brandon Cooks in the Kitchen, 36. LaVisca Chenault Jr. at 42. Marvin Jones, welcome to the shit fire of a division, 49. Michael Pittman, 50. T.Y., 52. Paris Campbell, 66. Lots of Colts in a row. Josh Reynolds, also welcome. I'm sorry, 77.
Yeah, your ADP was a lot higher until they brought in Julio, but it's cool.
Yeah.
So starting here with the Colts, like there's a lot of options here. T.Y. has obviously been a good receiver for much of his career, a little injury prone, but he had some flashes last season. But like, can he be a proven weekly starting receiver, like a flex option or even wide receiver 3 option every week? I think that's about as high as we can go with him. I'm not going any higher with him. Given that he's got Wentz possibly, and Wentz could be better than what he's had in years past.
Yeah, I think proven starting wide receiver is depends on how you look at it. But if you're looking from a strictly flex wide receiver 3 standpoint, absolutely. I don't think there's any reason to doubt he can't do that. I mean, I'm not going to like come out and guarantee it. I don't guarantee my takes because that is terrifying. But I don't mind some T.Y. Hilton late in drafts, and he's going late enough that he's a guy you can take a shot on to line up in good matchups in your flex. So I think he'll do just fine as a weekly starter in your flex spot.
I mean, and so in your mind, then at his ADP of 52, he's a bargain.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. I sort of agree. I kind of like his upside. I think he's still talented. He showed it a few weeks. The problem is the injuries with him. Like, he just can't stay on the field. So,
yeah, but he's finally has an ADP that's, you know, valuing his injuries.
Exactly.
So it's like, okay, we'll finally bring this into perspective here. Yeah, I like T.Y. where he's going now. I do like Pittman too. I think he's got.
I like Pittman a lot.
Ton of upside. I'm very surprised to see that he is that close to T.Y. as far as how far down it is. I just think that there's a lot of people just sleeping on this offense, and I think it's gonna potentially surprise some people. So maybe as we get closer to the season and have some preseason games, you know, under everyone's belt, then that might change. But if not, I'm happy buying where they are now. So,
yeah, I do want one or two of these receiving options just to take a stab and figure out which, because they're going so late, like they're free.
Yeah.
So why not take a stab at one or two of them in your leagues at where they're going? So. Next question.
Come on, Joe.
Quick fire. My computer just froze. Shut up. Jacksonville. So barring injury, like, you know, we just talked about how many options at receiver the Jags have. Shark, Marvin Jones, Chenault, throw an ETN there, I suppose. Who knows? But out of those three, you know, who's the one that you really want for this 2021 season?
I'm taking Marvin Jones at cost. You know, Urban Meyer came in, and what do you say about DJ Chark? He's a big wide receiver that plays small. That instills some confidence in you. That feels good.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Your coach says that about you. His high ankle injuries have been happening for multiple years, which is a little concerning to me. I'm not one to like throw around injury prone like it's a real thing, but high ankle injuries, I think, can continue to come back if you don't actually fully heal from them. I don't think that's what fantasy football doctors have told me, so I just listened, just so we're clear. I didn't come up with that on my own.
I mean, I would think the fantasy... I would think doctors are smarter than we are when it comes to that kind of stuff. Yeah. So yeah, I'll trust them.
But I worry about DJ Chark, and I was like, I liked him originally last year and then had an injury riddled season. And sure, he could come back and be healthy this whole year, but like I said about what Urban Meyer said, that's just a weird thing to say. I think that's just a weird thing to say.
See, I like Chark. It's hard to trust him at his ADP where he's going. And
yeah,
I passed on him in Scott Fish and was like, I just couldn't pull the trigger. I went elsewhere. So,
and I know there are a bunch of Chenault apologists and lovers and tweeters out there, and that's fantastic and good for you. But does it not feel like Urban Meyer is trying to make ETN LaVisca Chenault a little bit?
Yep.
Uh-huh. So, that's as I'm soon not, as he came Marvin out and said Jones what he did.
Like,
my only problem with Marvin Jones is he's like easily 90, the most inconsistent receiver I've ever like owned. Like,
yeah,
he always has like two or three like 40-point games, and everybody's like, "Oh, but he finished receiver 30." You're like, but the other weeks he finished receiver 99. Like, he was terrible. So like, right. I'm done with Marvin Jones. Like, I just can't do the ups and downs. Because, like, when are you ever going to know to actually start him? Especially now that he's got, you know, two other capable receivers on his team. At least before, it was just Galladay. And last year, he didn't have Galladay. So he finished way better last year. Because he was the only
one. That's why he got this trade.
Yeah. So
Urban's like, damn, check this guy out. Bring him in. Out of all of them, I think I'd like Chark the best, but I do like Jones's upside because of what I've seen and owning him. But I feel like it's more, he's more of a you know, best ball draft person. Like that's really the
How are you gonna board with Jones targeting for that? It's a good one.
But other than that, I don't really want
not interested
in this offense other than ETN.
This has been a really good show of us just being like,
I mean, yeah, basically we knew when we were, so me, Jeff, and AJ all got together one night and we planned all these shows. We got to the AFC South. We planned out like all the North, all the East. Then we got to the South. We were like, we're just gonna skip this one for now, and then we went to the West.
I don't even think I actually said yes. I'll take this one as
you
my
did.
Thing. Did I?
Yes.
Or was it a?
Oh no! Remember, we snake draft, and I won, and so you got stuck with the damn South.
Exactly.
And then you didn't fill in the questions till yesterday.
Fine.
You were like, I still don't want to do it, and I don't blame you.
Well, I'm on vacation.
How's that
staycation,
going?
Staycation, whatever.
Yeah.
Still getting
sometimes
drunk.
Those are the best, man.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I've had a pretty good week.
Let's finish off the wide receivers here, man.
All right. So quick fire. No, I'm just kidding. Tennessee. Does the addition of Julio down by the schoolyard help or hurt AJ Brown's value? And follow up. Which receiver would you rather own in 2021?
Man, this might be the first time I don't answer whichever one's the cheapest, because I still went AJ Brown over Julio Jones. Me too. I don't think it helps or hurts him. I mean, maybe he loses a little bit of volume, but I don't think it's going to be enough to truly affect his overall score. So I'm still pretty in on AJ Brown.
Yeah, it's a fairly, I don't want to call it a low passing volume offense, but it's not one of the tops, right? It's not the Bucs. It's not going to be, you know, Houston last year. It's not, you know, these teams that, you know, pass 600-700 times a game or a season. They don't do that, but they're in a very efficient offense. And so that's still going to play in AJ Brown's favor. So he's going to have, you know, every catch he gets is going to go for tons of yardage. That's what he does. He's a big time receiver. And if, honestly, if anything, like, I mean, I know Julio's not what he used to be, but he's still better than Corey Davis. So he could get a little bit of extra, like, safety over the top help. Then maybe that lets AJ Brown a little more free. Or vice versa. Like, it's, I think he's going to flip-flop, like, you know, like all season long type of thing. So I kind of see this helping Brown just slightly from an efficiency value. But I do think it reduces his volume because, I know Davis got a ton of work last year, but Jones is just another level above Corey Davis. If he can stay on the field, we all know Jones has injury history as well.
Yeah, I think if anything, it will help Brown in the sense that people have to think about Julio.
Yeah.
So last year, you know, Corey Davis had his breakout season because everybody was focusing on AJ Brown. You know, and Davis finally came through and had a good year, but it wasn't every week that he was like, hey, guess what? I'm blowing up, because AJ Brown still had a really damn good season. So I think it's interesting. I still think this is more of a run first team. That will change this year with Julio there. I think it will. I think it'll balance out a little bit more. Tannehill he's an efficient quarterback. So I think it's gonna help the overall situation. I don't necessarily think it's gonna hurt Brown's volume a ton.
So to kind of flip this real quick before we move on to tight ends, what do you think about Julio's value now that he's in Tennessee and he's not gonna see the volume he did in Atlanta? Linda, what are your thoughts?
I was on mute. Sorry.
No, all good.
Like Julio Jones, great for real football, and for fantasy football, I probably won't have him.
Yeah. AJ?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I think he's gonna be very solid for Tennessee. I'm just not really interested in owning him in fantasy though.
Yeah.
If he falls to me at a certain point.
He's not, though, man. His ADP is still pretty high. But, I mean, he's still top 10. I want guys behind him that are going after him way more. And so I agree. I mean, the big reason why is just he was a volume hog in Atlanta. I mean, that was one of the highest passing rate, highest passing offenses in the league for the last however many years. Like, you could go back probably 5-6 years, right? And they just pass the ball a ton. Yeah, he didn't score the touchdowns, but he was still catching 100 passes, you know, every season because he got 180 targets, it felt like. It was just monster. So he's not going to see the kind of volume. So unless he can get his touchdown rate up, which maybe with the more efficient offense he will, who knows? I think we're just going to have to wait and see if that actually works, but I'm not willing to take that risk. Because he has been a volume type receiver. But finishing off here with tight ends, it's not pretty for this division. I wrote down five.
I'm sensing a theme.
Yeah, this one's worse. This is probably the worst of them because we start off with Anthony Furkser at 26. I mean, at least we had some top 10 guys in the other ones. Yeah. Then we got Jack Doyle, 32, Akins at 39, Mo Alie-Cox at 40, and just for shits and giggles, I threw in Tyler Eifert at 45 because, I don't know, felt weird to only list four. I don't know why. But anyway, AJ, this was your question, so I let you have it.
I would be happy listing one, maybe two.
Zero?
Yeah.
I took Furkser in best ball the week before Julio got traded. I was like, damn it. Yeah, that backfired.
What a mistake. All right. So Jacksonville said we'd get back to it here. Mr. Tim Tebow is now the man with the plan behind the other man with some sort of a plan.
ETN receiver.
Will Tebow finally succeed in the NFL under his former college coach, who we all pretty much hate? And what is the over-under on how many, air quotes again, Tebow TD praying poses we will see in 2021?
If every team that scores against the Jacksonville Jaguars does not do a Tim Tebow praying pose, I'm going to start a riot. Like, how do you not? But
that's hilarious. Just
the whole concept is so ridiculous. I've mostly blacked it out of my head. It's so insane. Fucking spare me. Get over yourself. You're done. It's time to put it up. Don't pick up another position and then call your college coach and be like, hey, coach, like, I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah. Like, please, man.
It's just so insane to me.
I will say this. He did get a little jacked up, but there is zero chance he does
anything. I mean, like, I could go to the gym and get...
I know, right? There is zero chance he does anything. There's even talk that he's not even going to make the team now. Like, there's talk that he won't even make the team. Like, he's just been... He's looked terrible. So, I'm going to put... Can I put the over-under on praying poses at 0.5?
Sure.
Because it's either one... You say over. You think he's actually going to... I don't think he's going to make the team.
I don't think... Okay, wait. Are we talking about Tim Tebow doing the pose? Because
I think it's him.
Other teams should do it to mock
him. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's going to do it zero.
Yeah, it's zero. But if
other teams do it to mock
him... It's 0.5. So, yeah, it's 0.5, so it's under.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I think he... No, I think you're both wrong. I am taking that over. If you're setting the bar at 0.5... He needs to score a touchdown and then just go and skull fuck himself. And it's I've already won. So,
No.
Done.
I'm game moving one, on.
It's going to be ETN, you know, fake. He's going to come in, run the wildcat or, you know, the gator cat or whatever the fuck Urban Meyer wants to call it at this point. You know, the three-legged cat. And boom, he's going to score. He's going to skull fuck. He's going to dunk on the end zone. And then, you know, you're not going to hear about him for 3 weeks.
God. I want that to happen.
It will. I'm telling you, it is going to happen.
Oh my gosh.
I can't wait for ETN people on Twitter that, like, when that happens, when Tim Tebow scores and they're like, what?
Yeah. They're going to be like, shut up, bitch. Fuck. And I'll probably be one of them because I'm like, fucking fifth round, damn it.
All right. Moving on here to Indy. Look, Jack Doyle, Mo Alie-Cox, like, I think they're fairly talented tight ends. And Wentz has had history of using his tight ends pretty well, especially under Frank Reich, with Ertz and Goddard. Like, if those two can stay healthy, can they be, you know, I mean, at this point, they're waiver wire pickups, but, like, are they going to be, like, early season waiver wire pickups and actually, like, valuable for teams?
I mean, as somebody that played with the Colts tight end on a carousel last year in, like, the biggest league that I won in like my biggest money league last season. Nice. I played the Jacksonville Mo Alleycox carousel all off season or all season. That being said, the only Colts tight end I'm even remotely interested in is Kylan Granson. And I'm not big on rookie tight ends, but I feel like we've only heard positive things about him so far through rookie camp. I really like the kid, and it's already such a mess there anyway that if I'm going to take a shot on one, and I'm not going to draft any of them, but it's a waiver wire pickup that I'll keep an eye on all season long. And if he pops in a game, I'll run and pick him up. So
absolutely. No, that's a good one. I like that. AJ, want to finish things off here with Tennessee?
Sure.
Quick
fire.
She's like, I'm out. Bye.
Every time I have a Tennessee question, I have to say it now. And this is the last one, so I had to say it.
You did do this in order every single position, I realized, just now.
No, I didn't. I didn't do that on purpose.
Except for quarterbacks. Quarterbacks is the only one.
Order because there's a fucking order to things, and it's alphabetical, Joe. But, yeah, I figured out which team we weren't going to talk about. And
AJ's just angry tonight.
I'm not angry.
You are angry. Mood. You're yelling at me.
Vacation. You need to take it down.
Damn, dude.
We're relaxing.
I'm not angry. I'm enjoying a Kushwa brewing something. Force of Perception, New England style dipa. So I'm good. I'm good.
After your four glasses of the wine earlier, apparently. All right. Just ask the same question.
Four?
Oh, jeez.
Might be over on that one. Okay.
Jeff's left the room, by the way. He's not even here.
The departure of Jonnu Smith to New England. Are you buying into the Fursker fever that Joe was in Nashville?
Yeah, fuck yeah, I was until they brought in Julio Jones. I was all in before Julio Jones.
Everybody was.
Fursker had, like, the amount of, like, routes he ran from the slot and all these numbers that made him look like this really appealing option in that offense was a layup, which is what you look for when you're going for a late round tight end that you're just throwing an absolute blank dart on. It's how people ended up drafting Robert Tonyan last year. You're just guessing at that point, and he had all of the right pieces for him to be that answer. And, like, I got into it with people about Firkser, I don't know, 2 days before they traded for Julio Jones. I was like, hey, never mind about all those things.
Right?
My bad.
Sucks. I was all in on it. By the way, can I just call out Jeff for actually using SZN for season? Jeff, you're better than this. You're better than this. No seasons. No, none of that crap. Type it out. AJ's leaving the room. Our producer's in the background is going like, deal with it.
That's like the theme of tonight.
Pretty much. Oh, it's been a fun show.
It's spelled with more than that in letters. Fuck, there's some vowels in there.
Vowels just slow us down.
Apparently. All right, well, this has been a fantastic show.
Everybody trying to quick fire on spelling words now.
I can't even get words out of laughing. Let everybody know where they can find you on Twitter and what you got going on, you know, elsewhere.
You don't want to try to say my handle again?
No.
Let's go. Come on. The over
under. Lindellians.
Is it wrong?
Nailed it.
Got it. Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter at Lindellians. We do Fantasy Football Confidential Wednesdays at 9 Eastern. Fantasy Besties I do with JB from the Boys to Men division with you on Mondays around 7:15 Eastern. It's just really when we all get home from work and have time. And then Sundays, me, Steffi Smalls, Cooter Doodle, and Victoria_FFB are starting a sit-start show once the season kicks off. So
that's
where you'll be able to find me in season.
I love her little short clips that she does on YouTube. Those things are hilarious.
Cooter?
Yeah.
G-Pods? She's fantastic.
Those things are awesome. The first one I saw was the one with Scott Simpson, because he's a local Marylander to us, and me and AJ are in a league with him, and so like he was tweeting it out, and I saw it, and I was like, this is awesome, and I looked up some of the other ones, and they were good. So
yeah, Cooter's good people. I met her in a all girls keeper league, and cool. On Sleeper, her name was also Cooter Doodle, and I was like, you're gonna be my favorite person. I can already tell.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on. It was a blast. I know I had a good time, AJ. Absolutely. So yeah, we'll have to do it again sometime soon, hopefully. And, have a good night, and we will, talk to you later.
Thanks, guys.
All right. All right, AJ. We, closing out the show here. You got any more fun words to say tonight? You've been on fire, man.
I don't know if I can really top what else I've already done. I'm sure I could if I find a way, but I need like nice setups to jump into.
You need me to say something stupid. Yeah, that's usually how it works.
I mean, that helps, but yeah, my comedic genius doesn't only happen because you say dumb shit. So there's other layers to it, Joe. Mm-hmm. So
okay.
You know, I'm a complex mind. All right.
Well, that is it for the show. Next week, we are bringing on. Why won't my tabs work? Here we go. Next week, we are bringing on the aforementioned Troy Heisenberg. King. Not Heisenberg. Troy King to talk AFC West. So that'll be a good one. Linda was just talking about him, so I'm looking forward to having Troy on. He's a good guy, man. I've seen him on Twitter doing a lot of positive things, so I'm excited to have him on for sure. Talking to AFC West, it'll be a much more exciting discussion as tonight. I mean, we had fun just dogging this division, man. This felt like the AFC West show last year where we just like dogged the entire division. Well, maybe just the Broncos. I don't know. Maybe we'll do it again.
Yes.
So, all right, we are out. Peace, everyone. Good night.